Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What I was saying is, I don't know if you have a love affair with a specific water bottle in your life. Do you? Yeah, there it is. Uh-huh. Is that one of those?
I'm showing you my water bottle right now with my majestic whale deck of character plug. If you guys are like decks and you like tarot, get yourself a deck of character.
It's so good. It's so fun. There's no scary card to pull like a tarot deck can be sometimes.
No. But yeah, I put a lot of sentiment into my water bottles. They're inanimate objects with feelings, like a stuffed animal probably would have been. And I put my mouth all over it like I did my stuffed animals when I was a child. Most likely.
I've been apart from mine for almost 2 weeks. It got left at my boyfriend's mother's house, and they kept saying, "We don't see it." I'm like, "It is a gigantic stainless steel, bright blue." I don't know how you say it. Is it the Takia or Takaya or whatever?
I do not know.
Love these water bottles, and she's a big girl. She's a 32 ouncer, and that's how I like. Like I am like a baby with a bottle or like a baby blanket. I've been lost without my water bottle. And you don't just go replace it because these fuckers are expansive.
Yeah. And people are apparently attacking each other for Stanley cups now, or the stainless steel. I'm really not paying that much attention to it. But like all of a sudden people are like tackling each other in fucking Target for these fucking and Starbucks, like for the cups. Like I know. There's certain stories I just choose not to lean into.
Not to engage. Let's say I'm not one of those type of, you know, thermos cooling, you know, like that's for a certain lady. And that's not us.
Well, that being said, welcome to Sidework Podcast, guys. We're these kind of ladies.
We're
Sidework ladies. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
We got a stacked episode today. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh my gosh. And we got a server submitted story, which I'm
Can
so
you believe it.
Oh, and it delivers. I'm very, very excited about it. We are both a little hungover, having lady problems and all of the above, like navigating. Okay, this is for the ladies. And this is also research that's been shown now because of COVID, is that having COVID messes with women's menstrual cycles.
It exacerbates the flow, indeed. You know, and that being said, I'm experiencing it like a 2 week, like I should be ovulating, lady chat. But I think I'm about to full on like flow again.
Damn it.
And this is not, I know.
It's because of all the inflammation that COVID, so it's like, and then it's also extra painful as if it doesn't hurt and cramp a bitch up as is. The extra inflammation.
How fun. I've been trying to take all my anti-inflammatories. I usually am pretty good about it, but what's a girl to do?
Let's get our side podcast going all about COVID called Inflammatory Statements.
It's like, how long are we going to like have opening where there's going to be like a little bit of COVID chat, like, you know, only just like during COVID we had it. And like now it's like, since we've both experienced it, I just think it's hilarious. But
I know.
Honestly, people fucking love to talk about COVID. Give me a fuck. They love it.
It's the new weather, you know?
Yeah.
It's replaced talking about the weather.
It sure is. Well, let's just like dive right into headlines, I think. We got so much to cover today.
I mean, okay. So I know we were all waiting for this headline. Wait for it, everybody. But guess what? Chuck E. Cheese, that's right, Charles Entertainment Cheese, is publishing a cookbook. Yes. Yes, they are. And no, 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 it's not going to be food from Chuck E. Cheese, thank God.
Which is, you know what? I'm like, are you going to show me how to assemble a salad bar? I would love that, you know?
I love the concept behind it. They're trying to expand, you know, basically their empire and their brand and get out beyond, as they said, just the brick and mortar experience. And so it's a cookbook for kids, like how to have like a kick-ass kid party. And these are the kind of fun snacks and activities. So it's like a snack with activities to match it so that you can have a rock and sleepover sort of cookbook,
okay,
which I think
fun.
Is so cute.
I think that's super fun. I wonder if, like, coming off of, like, the tail end of Five Nights at Freddy's, like, Chuck E. Cheese just kind of saw this, like, opportunity to kind of pounce, you know, because it kind of is, like, revitalized them to a point. Maybe that's part of it. But I think this is fun and cute. And, you know, maybe you and I will try out a couple activities ourselves. Look, there's, like, Halloween-y type stuff, you know. There's,
right.
like, themed things that we'd be, you know. And I love a little... I, as someone who has like made the pumpkin, the vomiting guacamole onto a platter for
yes.
a Halloween party, like I love stuff like this.
It's pretty great. And, you know, I'm here for it. And do I have a child in my life who I'm going to buy it for? No, it might just show up on my shelf, you know?
Mm-hmm. Look, maybe you'll buy it for your niece and just be like,
yeah.
send me screenshots, you know, stuff
exactly.
like that. Or you get it, you peruse prior to gifting it to Sage.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that's super fun.
Everybody say, I like to party.
I like to party.
With Chuck E. Cheese.
With Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, this is also super fun. And like, I don't, all I have is like a little TikTok video that I saw on this. But apparently IKEA is hosting bingo nights twice a month in the restaurants. And
okay, now you can get me to go back. I said,
I want to go.
You can go get your little mashed potato cup, you get your mashed potato cone with the meatballs.
Oh my, I know. I just saw a thing. It's like, so you go to the restaurant and I think they cap it at a certain amount because, you know, it's only so big. But you get your bingo cards. They apparently have like kick-ass prizes that they're giving away. And you get like discounts on the food while you're going there. And I got to say, they got some nice chicky tenders. At IKEA, you know,
okay.
I'm not
okay.
an aficionado. I'm not like a chicken tender person normally, but when I do eat them, like I want them to be very good. And I think they do a pretty good job there. You know, not as good as that bowling alley we went to for your birthday, though.
We were really into their fried food. It was pretty
yeah.
yummy.
Yeah,
I would go back. Actually, now that we mention it, I'm ready for another bowling night. Let's get it going.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Yeah, so I think we should. I'm getting to the bottom of it. I looked on their events calendar. I didn't find squat. All the TikTok videos are obviously the Burbank IKEA. So I'm like,
okay.
I think I just have. I think I'm gonna start just doing old school, like call someone on the phone to investigate. Like that's kind of where I'm leaning in general now. It's like if I can't find something online, I'm like, why don't I just call? And then
yeah.
like magically you get what you want. It's
uh-huh.
crazy.
It's a direct source. Yeah. Turns out you can go to the source.
Oh, that's so good.
G53, G53.
Okay, so the third headline of today, because it is Super Bowl weekend, Brooke, RIP. What a good, fun season the Lions had.
They
I'm
did.
Very sorry. About what happened. So
we're so proud of them. And they really did play a good game. It was one of those games where both teams were really playing pretty well. And it just
mm-hmm.
came down to a few really lucky moments for the 49ers
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
a few unlucky moments for the Lions. And that's all it takes, baby.
Absolutely. Look, I know that, like, you know, my in-laws very disappointed that the Ravens didn't make it, but I was really gutting for like a Lions-Ravens
yes.
Super Bowl. But here we are, 49ers and the Chiefs. I feel like if the Chiefs win, some sort of prophecy will be fulfilled with the Taylor Swift and like her impact on what she's supposed to receive to achieve. I don't know. There's a lot that is going
in
my mind.
I realize I'm like maybe I'm not getting any commercial auditions because Travis Kelce's in every single commercial for every brand. This guy's the new Shaq. It's incredible.
That's so good. That's so good. Because Shaq is in everything.
He's smart.
Okay. So Super Bowl, is it a boost or a bust for local restaurants and bars, you know? And I was like, oh, right. Is it? Is it not? And I think it depends on like geographically, you know, where you're going to be. Obviously, home cities are going to be packed. Vegas, which is where the Super Bowl is this year, which I think is going to be friggin' crazy. Just like I think everybody is going to like flock to Vegas for the weekend, whether you're attending the game or not. I assume it's going to be a crazy busy weekend. So I assume like up the yazoo, bars and restaurants are going to be super busy there. But apparently, you know, most statistically, restaurants like across the board, revenue is down.
Sure. I mean, forget
bars.
It. If you don't have TVs in your restaurant, you're probably not going to have a very good night
No. Bars are up. Obviously, pizza is huge. So if you have a pizza place or you're a pizza place with TVs or you're, you know, just selling pizza to go.
Wingstop.
Yeah, Wingstop is good. But here specifically is that which cities did Super Bowl Sunday have the biggest impact on for local revenue at restaurants and bars? So if you work in these cities, maybe your tips will be affected this weekend. Hartford, Connecticut enjoyed a whopping 61% lift. Scranton, PA, saw revenues a 43% boost. All right. Atlanta, only 16%. So not a huge deal. Philly, also 13%. Poughkeepsie, New York, seeing a 13% increase. Detroit, only 10%. You know, probably would have been more had the Lions pushed through. Oh.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's real specific how you're going to do. If you're working in any of these areas and whether or not you sell a trifecta of pizza and or wings and or
wings.
Yep.
But mostly I think we just want to say, you know, Godspeed. Good tips.
Good luck
to all of you working out there in the sports bar world or hosting any sort of Super Bowl party in your restaurant. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, guys. Okay, well, Brooke, let's jump in, huh, to this amazing server
submitted story. All right. Dear Andrea and Brooke, hello, ladies. I'm a longtime listener and a huge fan of the podcast. We'd love to hear it. My entire family is involved in the restaurant industry, and listening to your podcast makes me feel a little less homesick. I recently talked to one of my old restaurant coworkers, and they made me think about one of the restaurant's old regulars. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my years of working in restaurants, but this specific customer still perplexes me. During one of my first days at my old restaurant job, I served lunch, and this nice man in his early 60s came to sit at the bar to drink a glass of wine. Very polite, and introduced himself as Carl. He claimed that he was a regular and loved the restaurant. We had a lovely conversation, and he told me he lived in the neighborhood and worked at the nearby hospital. I later found out that he was the personal eye doctor to a Middle Eastern prince. He drank his wine, tipped generously, and left. And no, it's not going to be about being an eye doctor. Here's where it takes a turn. At the end of my shift, one of my coworkers asked me how my day went. I told them it went well, that I had the sweetest bar customer, and asked if they knew him. My coworker laughed and said, "Oh yeah, that's Carl, the pooper." Carl the pooper was infamous at our restaurant. The men's restroom was single use. It had a urinal and a toilet, but the door had a lock. Most people would lock said door behind them.
Uh-oh.
Carl would intentionally keep the door unlocked while sitting on the toilet. He loved to have people walk in on him while he was pooping. I didn't believe it until I saw it in action. He would go to the bathroom and wait for someone to walk in on him. Have you ever heard of anything like that? Oh, yes. Yes, we have. He especially loved to do it during home football games. Uh-oh, Super Bowl weekend. I lived in a college town, and the restaurant I worked at was very close to the football stadium, so they were always packed on game days. Every hour or so, he would get up, get in line to use the bathroom, and wait for someone to barge in. It gets weirder. I was in college then and noticed Carl downtown at the bars. It would be past midnight on a Saturday night, and I'd see Carl stroll into the club and make a beeline to the bathroom.
Come on!
Oh, man. He especially loved this one bar that didn't have doors on the bathroom stalls in the men's room. He would just sit there for hours and greet all the drunk college boys.
Wow.
Oh, man. The behavior went on for a couple of years. Everyone just got used to it. No one ever asked Carl about it. What was so weird was that Carl was literally one of the nicest people I'd ever met. There was nothing mean or creepy about him. He's just a man who likes to have people watch him poop in public. Hey, don't yuck my yum. Eventually, Carl's behavior changed and he stopped pooping in public. He's still a regular at the restaurant and is just as lovely as ever. I'll always wonder what started and stopped his public pooping fetish, right? Was it just something he had to get out of his system? No pun intended. Was it just a phase? Did someone finally call him out or catch him? Mm-hmm. The world may never know. Thank you so much for reading my story. I'm glad the legend of Carl the Pooper can live on. Keep up the great work. Godspeed and good tips, Al. This is Al.
Oh, man. What a great story. Look, as someone who just did an EMDR session, I wonder... if Carl went down that route.
He sought out a little help, perhaps.
He like got the poop trauma out of his body. Maybe he did get called out, or maybe, I don't know. Maybe he went on to something else that he wants to watch, or maybe he wants to watch people now instead of be the person being watched.
Yeah. The watched becomes the watcher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for Carl, who now wants to watch you.
Watch out for Carl, the legend of Carl. You know, this only like makes me think, I mean, at least he kept it to the men's room because, you know, now that there's I think we've talked about it before too. It's like, all bathrooms for all people, you know, there's like, you know, yeah. Like gender equality when it comes to bathroom now in California, but there's still the obvious, like this used to be the women's restroom and this used to be the men's restroom. And I'm telling you what, those men that take shits in bars, they're going into the nicer bathroom.
Of course they are.
Ugh. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. Our friend Jason, friend of the pod, friend in real life. He had an accident, got a spinal cord injury as of about 5 years ago, and he just put his one-man show up, and he has this great part where he's like, you know, before I was someone who used a mobility device, I always went for the large, you know, handicap stall to take that luxurious shit. He's like, I'm guilty of it. And he's like, and now I roll up into the bathroom, and every time I pull up, you know, to use my, you know, appointed stall, he's like, there's always a huge guy walking out sweaty. And he's like, and you know, you're just rolling right into a fucking stink bomb. And I know.
God damn it. God damn it.
People don't use the handicap stall to take a shit, or watch people take shits, or purposely have people watch you poop. Okay. Anyways.
Absolutely. You guys got more poop stories for us?
We'll take them. But wonderful re-entry back into server submitted stories in 2024. If this inspired you to write into us, you know where to send them, right?
Oh, sideworkpod@gmail.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, guys, let's get into this. Hot off the tails of hotel catering. You know, it's great how we still are inspired. And, you know, Brooke had the idea. She was like, never covered room service. You know, I think we both, every once in a while, we're just like, oh my God, we've like, even when we just did the specials episode, I was like, we've never done a specials episode. I'm still floored, Brooke, at how surprised we are by each other's ideas. Just like a whole like, oh, right.
But I think it's really good that we didn't like get through all the obvious hits right at the top, because then the podcast would be pretty boring right about now.
Oh my God. Absolutely. So like I think it's great. I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet, because there's a lot to cover.
There's a lot. And I think too, just inspired by talking with our friend Sumi with her hotel job, it was like, oh, what about people who do room service?
So absolutely.
Let's do it. You're going to give us.
Get into it.
Yep.
Yeah. Here we go. So being a room waiter, right? Room server. So it's a pretty nuanced job. And here is the rundown of the duties. So basically the first thing you're going to do is take the guest order. And yes, there is a room service station adjacent to the kitchen and hotels that provide room service. And this is the part of the job where you're basically like a food operator. People are calling in from rooms. You're picking up. There's going to be other room service servers, waiters there, or in-room dining, mm-hmm. it's also known as now. So you're there, you're picking up the phone, you're taking the order. You know, there is a big digital kind of touch screen, especially if you're at like big resorts. You know, I've gone to Mexico and stuff like that, where it's like you can order room service from the touch screen.
Oh,
but obviously
okay.
There has to be somebody to receive that on the other end, no matter what. And
right.
There's a whole team of people in the kitchen with their own very specific section in these hotels ready to bring you room service. All right. So
did you see this part too? The history of room service started in New York City's Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Oh,
in the 1930s.
Not.
It was an unheard of amenity of waiters delivering meals directly to your room so you can eat it on a bed.
Nice. I mean, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, room service is, let's just like say right now, room service is fancy. You
it's
know?
Fancy.
I think we all feel like if someone like brings me a plate of fries that I get to like eat while like sitting on a bed and like flipping through television with like free HBO, great. Wonderful.
I'm a happy camper.
I'm so happy. So most room service menus are pretty basic. You know, I think there's like a pared down version of the main restaurant in the hotel, but there's some high end hotels where the sky's the limit for what you can get delivered. You know, these servers don't fuck around.
Okay.
And these hotels do not fuck around. Like you're going to get kind of anything that you want. You know, like the Beverly Wilshire in LA prides itself on offering unique spread of in-room dining menus, especially for like the little ones. Apparently their kids menus are divided into kids stuff, big kids stuff.
Wow.
And they provide selections for little ones, including organic baby food and teething biscuits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is some 1%er room service.
Yeah. The Enchantment Resort in Sedona. Okay, they offer a custom culinary in-room program. And there's an option called In the Raw, where they'll basically bring you, hold on, my computer just went a little.
Here, I got you in case.
Yeah, okay. And In the Raw includes a room service tray of ready-to-cook barbecue favorites for your guests to cook themselves on private patio grills.
Okay.
Accompanied with fresh greens. It's like a Korean barbecue room service.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
I mean, it's kind of like then you get like a personal private thing, but if someone just like brings you the stuff to do it, who am I to judge? I'm sure it's fucking delicious, you know? In Sausalito at Cavello Point, you basically get superb views with your room service apart from a wide selection of breakfast and dinner entrees. They offer in-room cocktail parties, all right, that you can get. I mean, the sky is the limit. It goes on.
Listen to this one.
On.
It does. I found one, too, aside from this, along Billionaire's Row, which is Park Lane in New York City. I guess the hotel is called Park Lane, New York. So it's on Billionaires Row in Manhattan. It has a caviar hotline at the hotel. You just have to dial 5 on your in-room phone and you can get caviar nachos, deviled eggs, or other really, you know, extravagant caviar dishes. You know, and you know that that shit ain't cheap because like a 30 gram tin of some run-of-the-mill caviar starts at $125.
Oh yeah. And they're upcharging. Like when you're getting room service and stuff like this, it's like bottle service at a club for sure.
Oh, totally.
You know, they're tacking on a lot of extra dollar signs. Okay, so we've got that. We kind of get the premise of it. So from you take the order, and then from there you hand it off to the kitchen, and then you start the preparation of your table or your trolley, right? And presentation is everything on this.
Right.
Trolley setup is serious business, and all hotels have their own version with specific signature items like coasters or embossed condiments or dishware. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner each have their own version of the setup.
Tiny, tiny little glass bottles of ketchup and mustard.
Little tiny
hot sauces.
Small salt and pepper shakers. Just the tiniest little spoons. You know, they have to preset a lot of these carts, especially for breakfast. I mean, assuming, and I'm pretty sure breakfast has to be the busiest time for room service.
Oh, it's absolute chaos.
Absolutely. You know, you want to like be in your robe, you want to eat your fruit plate, you want to get real pretty woman with it, you want to get like whatever. I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of room service, and especially on TV and movies, is all breakfast. Mm-hmm. So items are meticulously and intentionally placed on the cart with fine touches, such as labels facing out and even fresh flowers added. And if you really want to learn how to present a trolley and get it set up, Brooke, there's all sorts of kinky videos on YouTube about this.
Like getting real fetishy and real like...
I mean, I think that a lot of them are just like training videos that have been put on YouTube, but you could go down a deep hole and make it your kink real hard just to be like, oh, look at the way they place that napkin.
Ooh.
Ooh, a swizzle stick for juice. Oh my God, there's a plate that like goes under the plate. Like it's a very specific setup.
And also just like shout out to trolleys as sort of the vehicle for sneaking someone in or out who's committed a crime in every movie, you know?
Yeah, it's like you could go in a trolley or, you know, or on a room service cart in the dirty laundry and be covered up with sheets, especially if you're trying to escape an orphanage. We all know that that's like a big thing.
It's a hard knock life
for us. I found this really great article. Granted, it was written in 2002, but I still found it great, from the Harvard Business Review.
I found this too. It's great.
Oh, great. Yeah. This guy, Paul Hemp, who's just spent 2 weeks as a room service waiter at the Ritz in Boston. But this guy, Steven, he had been there for many, many years, and he trained Paul and had some. It's actually a really great rundown, and like just about working for a hotel, you know, what you're expected as far as guest service. But Stephen goes on to say, you know, you want the experience to be as elegant as it would be in the restaurant downstairs. At the same time, you want people to feel as comfortable as they would at home, because this is their home away from home. All right. So the dual challenge makes a room service waiter's experience in some ways more challenging than his or her restaurant's counterparts, which I fully would agree with on that. In a restaurant, the guest is on your turf. All right.
Right.
Here, you're on the guest's turf, and you never know what you're walking into, you know, which is true. Which is very, very true. Steve goes on to say that you should always overstock your cart. Be prepared for anything. A sauce for the burgers. Not my bag, but some people want it, and they just appreciate that it's on the table. He says lemons for Coke, etc. And these touches ensure that the guest that you have thought about every possible scenario that they might, you know, get what they need, which is awesome. Just always be prepared. And then obviously delivering the food is a huge thing. You gotta get that food from the kitchen up to whatever floor you're delivering it to. And this is when it gets real and maybe real weird, right, bro?
I like that you have it. Like how frustrating, right, that you have in here too, that like that you show like they've ordered room service, but they have their do not disturb placard turned outward, which
that's a big thing.
You do not disturb. Okay. So
then it's
that they fucking forgot, but it doesn't matter. You have to wheel your ass right back down to the kitchen so that they can be called to say there's a do not disturb sign.
Yeah, do you still want your food? Yeah. Right.
And then apparently in the chef screaming at you that the food's getting fucked up while you're sitting there waiting, trying to deliver it. Oh my God, the stress of that. Holy shit.
I know. So stressful, right? You know, but you know, assuming like there's no do not disturb, you knock on the door, knock, you know, knock, 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 room service. Like, sure, you get taken into the room. And then, you know, I feel like there's some room service that I've had where it's just like they just kind of come in and they put a tray down on a table and they leave.
Yes.
But at the higher end places, it's a whole to do, right?
Oh.
These trolleys are incredible. Like they have hot and cold cabbies underneath them with like the crispest, you know, linen, unwrinkled linen ever. And then the sides pop up. So they become like this, like essentially like fine dining table in the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I, you know, got paid to do things for a TV network on their dime, you know, they'd put you up in really nice hotels and you, of course, had a per diem so that, you know, because they're like, we don't want you leaving the hotel. Like the big thing is they wanted to keep track of all the talent because we had places that we were supposed to be on their agenda and their time. So they're like, yes, get room service because we can't have you getting lost in the city here. And I've only ever had what you mentioned before was they just kind of bring in your tray and peace out. They kind of stand at the door, you sign it, and you're like, that's that. At these fancier places, for you as a guest, you're like, this is a whole thing and they're going to be here for a while. And I'm a little country bumpkin who doesn't, you know, like I was like, my behavior is for sure weird. And I'm like, wow, this
like,
is.
What do I do? How do I move? They're like.
And you're like. Yeah, you're like, this is
like,
another level.
Cracking pepper on my Caesar salad I'm about to like eat in my underwear.
Right. Like did you just put a napkin on my lap?
I'm
sitting here
amazing.
In my towel, you know, but.
I mean, but the thing is like these servers also have to be trained like on everything that a normal server would, like wine service, presentation service. They're opening super expensive bottles of wine. So they're doing all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff. And on top of it, they might be coming in prior to guests arriving, like because it's a full on experience. Mm. Like these room servers are also, if you're getting married and there's a wedding, you're going in and setting up, you know, chocolates and champagne. If it's like a high rollers room, you're probably going in and setting up scotch or like a bar or restocking a mini bar or whatever it is like that specific guest might need. You're kind of in charge of that room, like from time
it's,
before they arrive.
You're creating an experience like the whole time. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think they're the whole like, will there be anything else you need tonight that I can get you? That's going to be your number one, like, I'm done here. You tell me if you need anything. Mm-hmm. And if not, they're just going to sign off on that bill and hopefully you get a big old tip, baby.
And what a racket too, because there's like the service fee and there is already gratuity included, but you're like, why wouldn't I add a little more money on here? Because I work in the service industry and you can really walk away with some cash doing this room service game.
Yeah, you can six figure this shit if you're at a high end place, you know, and you're working your tail and you're seasoned and you've been there a long time. And I did read that these are 8-hour shifts. It's not like you're clocking in for like a dinner service. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
you're there for a minute, like getting the shit done. But either way, what a weird, silly, fun, interesting job.
Yes. And the part, you know, that is what I'm sure you're all now wondering about is how to remain professional in the face of the worst behaved people sometimes. Come to hotels, you know, we know we didn't even want to get into what, you know, the hotel staff and the cleaning staff has to put up with because it's a whole other thing. And the stuff they put up with and the stuff they see, it's demoralizing. So we're not going to get into that because it's terrible. But room service people also get treated any old way, depending, you know, if you're doing room service, making it available all night, even if there's a late night menu that still has like club sandwiches and a burger and blah, blah, blah. You are walking into coke fueled affairs, you know, drugs
drunk.
And hired sex workers and all sorts of stuff. And so while I was looking up, you know, the like craziest room service stories. So I would like to start off by saying it's more people on the other end who their kink is they're like, my husband and I love to answer the door naked. Do you guys do that? So that's
more
like a
watching.
Yep. It's Carl. It's Carl the pooper. So yeah, you're dealing with people who get off specifically on like daring each other to open the door naked, like your turn, honey. Or they're like, how about we do it together this time? Dongs
like,
and boobies
the door's
out.
Open. It's cracked. It's open. And then people are just like laying on the.
It's like a whole subculture of
look,
people.
Hotel rooms are for
weirdos.
Business. And the, yeah.
I just really, really bad stuff happens at hotels. Like I have very run of the mill stays, you know. I've never done anything crazy other than, let me think. We had like a 20-year high school reunion after party. We like booked a suite and that was really fun. But that's like the only time I've partied in a hotel.
Yeah, I've never like partied in a hotel. I've never like trashed a hotel. I've never, you know what I mean? My sister,
no.
On the other hand, she's no. Done, you know what I mean? But yeah, I pretty much am very well behaved. I'll clean up before I leave, you know?
It's you cannot get the service industry out of the girl, okay?
No. Not at all. It, the same thing goes for like my clients when they're like, when they get off the facial bed and I come in and they've like remade the bed for me. And I'm like, these cutie patooties.
Wow.
You're fine. How nice.
That's sweet.
But yeah, seriously, the same thing. But, you know, and like you were saying, like before, like anytime any sort of like room waiter comes in to bring me food, I'm just basically like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
All my clothing is on. I'm polite. I am engaged. I'm not doing illegal activities.
Right.
Like,
but it's not a normalized behavior for me. Right.
No. And I'm proud of that. So, you know, instead what these, you know, you have to be trained to just be poker face about it. It's not your job. Like the only time you need to get involved is if someone's dead or having some sort of medical emergency, which room service walks in on. You know, when I was looking for the crazy stories, I also decided not to go down the route of how much creepy, like trafficking type shit.
Oh,
we're not,
I know.
We're not going there because that's
totally
what a lot of the stories are, unfortunately, what room service sees. Very, very questionable shit.
Yeah.
You know?
But I can see, I can like, you know, paint the picture of just like the couples like, or the friends are like, hey, I just ordered room service. We're going to have the best weekend ever. Why don't I hop in the shower while you blah, blah, blah. And the person not in the shower is like, I'm going to do like a bunch of cocaine, but it's really heroin, Pulp Fiction style, and then start like ODing on the floor. Meanwhile, like naked person comes out of the bathroom is screaming, someone's ODing on the floor. Knock, 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 room service.
It's, I mean, this is what room service, you know, I would say many people are like, yes, of course I've seen crazy stuff, but thankfully it's not the majority of my experiences. But I thought this was cool before I get into some really, I picked just specifically funny stuff towards the end to tell, but these are some cool tips from room service professionals. Here's the dirt, you guys. Okay, the higher your floor, the worse your food gets. because when a room service employee, this was a Mental Floss article, basically the higher up they have to come and the more winding the maze of finding your room, et cetera, that the chafing dish, you know, the cloche that keeps your food warm, it's starting to melt and basically get condensation all over your food. So now, you know, it's a wet piece of toast. It's the soggy French fries. And yeah, you're going to get all the soggy food the higher up you are. In the hotel, he's like, if you want good service, try and be like, you know,
on the first floor.
Yeah, first floor. Those French fries are gonna be crispy. So another hot tip, they say they're just like, do not order seafood or steak, basically because once again, if you want a medium steak, the lid is just gonna keep cooking your steak. And so like if a server's really smart and knows the drill, they might say to the kitchen, let's go a temp under what they asked for because it's going to be medium then by the time it gets there. And then obviously, like, the fish is just going to turn into a dry, overcooked stink. And they're like, just don't do it. It fucking stinks up your room.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, this is where the Enchantment Hotel that in Sedona got it right. They're like, look, we see this problem. Why don't we just have the people cook their own meat?
There we go. We'll bring you your hibachi. But yeah, basically most people are like, just get the burgers, the club sandwiches, the good yummy Cobb salads.
The easy stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
They don't get messed up between the kitchen and your room.
No, there's a reason why they're on the menu. There's a reason why it's abbreviated. It's for your benefit.
Totally. They're like, we can guarantee we won't fuck this up. So, guests do invite them in sometimes in non-creepy ways. So I thought this was so weird and hilarious. You know, they're like, listen, business travels might be away from home for months at a time, and they're tired of eating alone. And sometimes you'll get invited in because they were like, the company's paying for it. I got extra food. How about you sit down and have this extra burger with me? Sometimes the traveler might be a familiar face. This guy from the article says he once sat down to eat with Oprah. She was eating by herself despite her suite being filled with her, you know, busybody employees. And she was like, I want to eat with somebody and have a conversation, and asked her room service person to sit down, chill with her, have some food. And then he also says that he had a bite with John F. Kennedy Jr., who wanted to finish watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High before heading to his limo.
Wow.
Do you want to tackle this other fun?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, okay, apparently there's a trick to ordering chicken wings. So, busy hotel kitchens aren't always paying attention to whether the chicken wings they buy in bulk are frozen raw, frozen cooked, or somewhere in between. Ooh. So ask for them extra crispy, Matt says. That way they'll be cooked thoroughly regardless of their freezer status. I recommend that to everyone.
That is for sure a hot tip if we don't want the old Sammy, the Samminellas.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So another one is that they love it when you fill out your breakfast card order. Oh my God.
Guys,
like
do
we were
it.
Saying
do
before,
it.
Breakfast is busy, 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 busy. I can't even imagine. Like, so just go, go, go.
It helps them because they get everything. Like, they start working on the breakfast carts at like 4 a.m. because you can get breakfast usually as early as 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do your card the night before and you decide to call in breakfast, it's going to be an hour. And you know mommy needs her coffee. If she's
awake. And
time
is everything on this. Oh, I mean, if you're getting breakfast to your room, a lot of times just like you're probably somewhere where you have somewhere to be, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big one. Absolutely fill out those breakfast cards the night before and you will wake up to your breakfast and your coffee waiting for you. It's pretty lovely how that works. We already said they just would really prefer if you don't answer the door naked. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Your used tray is the worst thing ever. Like we were saying how sometimes people, when we go to bus tables, people just decide to like, hey, I'm going to empty out my purse and put like this old granola bar on my, you know, my finished entree and a used lipstick that broke. And like,
in like, hotel rooms, they're like, I'm going to put my like this jizz Kleenex on my dinner plate.
they're literally like, they really, really hate it when you put your tray outside the door. I didn't know this. This is a hot tip. You can just call again for them to come get it.
And yes, this is the right one up. Thing I didn't cover. I was like, there's the whole cleanup part of it. I just realized that it's like, that's a big thing is you have to go back and take it like as eloquently as you brought it in, take it out just as nicely. You know what I mean? And maybe get like an ice cream service or a dessert service like when they're coming in. So
sure.
Knows?
I mean, but there other people also who are walking through the hotel will also look at your pile of garbage and add to the pile of garbage. And it just becomes this like chaotic.
People are monsters.
We're all the worst. They're like, we will come to collect these, you know, room service trays and there will be used condoms on them. We've even seen crumpled up divorce paperwork.
Wow. Gross.
Oh,
used condoms. What the fuck?
See, people are monsters, dude. People are just for
and
me
that's
running
the whole thing they're like I don't have to do anything. I paid for this hotel. I can be as gross and as weird as I want and somebody else is gonna clean up after me.
I wish that there weren't more like Carl the Pooper is child's play mm-hmm. compared to what people do. There is such a common occurrence of hotel guests who smear shit everywhere. It's mm-hmm. such a known thing. I don't want to go there anyways, but it's very real. Like, it's very, very real. So here are a few crazy things that people have seen that thankfully don't involve trafficking or murdered sex workers. Okay. So I used to serve room service in a hotel that was near a major national hospital, and the two locations had reached some sort of business agreement where people going into surgery, so maybe they're 3 hours out of town, you could stay at the hotel the night before your surgery at a discount rate. During my 3 years there, we had about 6 guests die during the night while waiting for their big surgery. I know, and it was always handled in a very, very hush-hush manner. Let me make this a little bit bigger so you can read this other
one. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, you take this one.
Yeah, so this next one. So as the owner of a bed and breakfast place for the last 8 years, the craziest thing I ever found was an old battered notebook with "Why I Love Salad" written on the front, and then literally 40 to 80 pages on why salad was amazing. There'd be the occasional suggestion that the author believed salad to be alive in some sense. Looked like it had been written on and off for the course of several years.
Wow. People are weird, man.
Look, some people got to stick with their nutrition plan. And if
and I love salad. Like, I love salad.
I've been leaning into salad so fucking hard lately, too. Oh, like, we did, love we did it.
The chopped Italian.
Oh,
you know?
It's so good, right?
I'm going to make
I did it
lunch.
Again. I added pepperoncini. Hello. Oh. Mind blowing. But
so good. Gave me a hat pin. Gave me a little hat pin. But
oh, yeah. Do you think that this person who like lost this notebook or like misplaced it, it was like Wilson floating away in the ocean?
This was like me losing my water bottle. So yes. like years of documenting.
Salad.
This one's amazing. So this is from a room service worker. I had a guy who said his microwave didn't work, and I went up to the room and he had locked a plate of food in the safe.
That's a classic.
Why? Like,
no, no.
Sir, we don't have any microwaves in our room. See.
Like, people are
talk
so...
Talk about soggy fries.
I just, you just learn how lost people are, like, when they're away from, like, their wife or their spouse, mm-hmm. or you're just like, mm-hmm. how do people not die every day just trying to get through life?
I know. Okay, here's another one. Cats. Cats everywhere. And a $100 tip with a note that said, "Thanks for taking care of these guys. Be back in a week."
She didn't come back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I mean, there's so much more. We hope that this inspires you guys to either talk about, you know, anything weird you've seen.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to confess uh-huh. something weird you've done? That's okay. We'll keep you anonymous. That can be a server submitted story.
Yeah, absolutely.
but I think I've told you. I was leaving New York. It was like my last night. I was put up, you know, again, by the network. And I'd been there for several days. And I'm also the person who I don't like to get room cleaning because I think it's wasteful. I don't like someone in there every day. I also keep a pretty neat room. Worst case, I will get rid of my garbage because we know how that one little can starts to get real weird with all the stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really hungover, you know, and housekeeping does start to get a little perplexed with you. They're like, "Let me in there." You know, they start to get nervous. Like, what is she doing? Like, has she built a nest out of hair? Yeah. Like, they're, you know, they start to get worried.
They've seen the worst.
they
expect it. Yeah.
And, you know, it's a situation too where you do these like award shows or these marketing things that they would make you go on. So they just give you all this stupid crap that you don't want. It's like, oh, a Bluetooth speaker that says True TV on it. You know, I'm not, but anyways, but it was like a fun little amount of gifts, right? And I was like, maybe, you know, whatever. So I saw housekeeping. I was so hungover and gotten no sleep. And I'm stumbling out of the hotel and I passed by and I said, there's a little surprise in there for you. And she looked like she was like, oh, fuck. And because it's like never a good thing.
Like, ooh, cool. Is this a whole like find the turd game? I can smell it. I know it's in here. And as the person that has to clean this room, it's my duty to take the turd out.
No, it was a Bluetooth speaker, probably like great. A bottle of wine and some other fun goodies. But I did not choose my words wisely. And I really, really scared the housekeeping.
Incredible, Brooke. Oh, great. Well, another episode makes history.
This one was so freaking fun.
Really fun. You guys, again, if you've been inspired, send us those server submitted stories at sidewordpod@gmail.com. Other than Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
Good tips, guys.
Especially for these hotel workers. Take care of them.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.